Thanks for sticking with us, or if you're just joining, you're listening to Radio Reading Services of Greater Cincinnati, a division of the Cincinnati Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired. I'm Stephen J. Lowenstein, and I'll continue with the second half of this week's edition of the Greater Cincinnati Business Report. We'll start off with a My View column entitled Helping Those Held Back by Racial Inequality Advances Our Entire Community. This was contributed by Ellen Katz, who is president and CEO of the Greater Cincinnati Foundation. This is an excerpt of her remarks that she delivered at the Leadership Cincinnati Welcome Dinner held by the Cincinnati USA Regional Chamber on the 4th of September. The good things in our community are easy to see. Festivals, parks, beer, bourbon, arts, urban development, vibrant neighborhoods. Here is what is not so easily seen. We are a top 10 city nationally for childhood poverty, segregation, lack of upward mobility. If you are born in poverty here, you're not likely to get out. Other cities have better paths to economic prosperity. Unfortunately, our system holds people back. Sadly, these unwanted outcomes occur disproportionately for African Americans. This presents a huge problem for the future of our region. Consider this. In 6 months, the majority of kids under 18 will be kids of color. In 2 decades, our entire region will be a majority of people of color. The future is in their hands. Hands that need to be filled. So what is holding back the incredible potential of the African Americans of our region? Poverty? No. That's a symptom. The answer is systemic racism, a phenomenon that our nation's history that deserves and requires our attention here at home. We often point to individuals who have overcome the system's grip to prove that it is possible, or some profess that if people just make the right choices, we'll have the same opportunities to succeed. But do they? Imagine 8 of your friends decide to get together for Monopoly night. 5 arrive on time and start to play, figuring that the 3 who are running late can join later. What is it like for those who join the game late? They really have no chance to enjoy the power and control held by the early players. Sure, it happens that someone comes from behind and wins, but it's the rare exception. We need a more equitable game, where all people, regardless of race, have a fair and just opportunity to participate, prosper, and reach their full potential. This is the definition of racial equality. The morality of this issue alone should be enough to compel us to act. But I can also make the case for collective gain, that all boats will rise higher, including those riding high today. Maybe you question how advancing people held back can provide a benefit to everyone. Think about the investment we've made to ensure that every sidewalk crossing has a curb cut built expressly for disabled people with mobility issues. Yet every skateboarding, scooter riding, baby strolling, suitcase toting person is also better off as a result. The pursuit of racial equity is the superior growth strategy for our community. Through research conducted here, we know that our region's GDP would be $9.9 billion greater per year if we could close the racial gap income. Let's open our community's eyes to everything that is true about who we are. Embrace what's awesome and what is not. Find ways to amplify the power of our regional assets while also tackling our liabilities. We have to marshal the future resources of commitment on this urgent issue, and we need every shoulder to the wheel. Now is the time. And again, that My View column, Helping Those Held Back by Racial Inequality Advances Our Entire Community, was contributed by Ellen Katz, President and CEO of the Greater Cincinnati Foundation. Now, if you're interested in obtaining a piece of one of Cincinnati's largest office towers, well, it's on the market. A leasehold interest at one of downtown Cincinnati's largest office towers is being marketed for sale. JLL is marketing the leasehold interest at Columbia Plaza. That's the 29-story office tower at 250 East 5th Street for Highbrook investors. There is no asking price for the leasehold interest. Highbrook Investors has acquired the ground-level leasehold interest, what was then known as the Chiquita Center, in 2015. The real estate, the building itself, and the land underneath is owned by the Joseph family's Columbia Development Corporation. Since Highbrook acquired the leasehold interest, it has invested more than $10 million into the office tower. The lease is about 25 years remaining on it, plus three 20-year options. Officials with Highbrook Investors were not immediately available for comment. Jamie Fink, Senior Managing Director with JLL Capital Markets in Chicago, declined to comment on the listing. Earlier this year, Western and Southern Financial Group signed a long-term lease for the top seven floors of the nearly 538,500-square-foot tower. Other tenants at Columbia Plaza include Deloitte, Nielsen, Porter Wright, Morris, and Arthur. Columbia Plaza is now 76.2% leased, giving potential investors a chance to create additional upside by filling more space in the building. Since 2018, more than 145,000 square feet of space has been leased in Columbia Plaza. The upgrades that Highbrook Investors have made to Columbia Plaza are expected to make it an attractive option for office tenants. The amenity package at Columbia Plaza includes a tenant lounge, outdoor plaza, conference room, cafe, dry cleaning, car washing and detailing, fitness classes, art gallery, and transportation services. The leasehold interest of Columbia Plaza is expected to garner local, regional, and national interest. The offering is the latest in a number of downtown office towers that have recently traded hands. Atrium 2 and Omnicare Center were acquired by a joint venture between Acabe Incorporated and IMC Real Estate Management and Group RMC Corporation, who purchased the 23-story Huntington Center at 525 Vine for $24.5 million. Kroger is back at the news this week, and a Kroger analyst stating, "We're checking it out." An analysis of Who Tracks Kroger Company has downgraded the stock, saying his firm is checking out of the company amid waning confidence in its strategy. Chris Mandeville, who follows downtown Cincinnati-based Kroger. For Wall Street investment firm Jefferies, got his rating on its stock from buy to hold in a report issued Thursday before the market opened. We're checking out as a confidence in Kroger's long-term grocery strategy and management's ability to effectively communicate wanes. Mandeville wrote in the report, explaining his team's decision to downgrade the stock. He said his team made the move in spite of Kroger's strong stock gains and have seen it rise 18% in less than 3 months through Wednesday. Shares in Kroger, the nation's largest operator of traditional supermarkets, fell 69 cents or 2.8% Thursday, but it closed at $23.84. Mandeville criticized Kroger's strategy to invest $1 billion or more over the next few years in developing 20 huge automated warehouses and distribution centers around the country, with British online grocery delivery company Ocado as costly and risk. That's criticism he has voiced before. We believe Kroger's partnership with Ocado is a poor and significant long-term capital allocation misstep, Mandeville wrote. He prefers smaller facilities, known as micro-fulfillment centers. His analysis shows that Kroger's Ocado facility will take up to 4 years to reach profitability versus 1 year for the smaller alternative. Kroger CEO Rodney McMullen told investors last month that the Ocado facility should be profitable by year two or three. He also said Kroger's price gap with Walmart hasn't improved, particularly with Walmart's recent price cutting. He doesn't see anything to drive same-store sales growth improvement next year. Kroger's best prices are 13% higher than Walmart's, Mandeville said, a gap that has widened recently. Additionally, he doesn't expect Kroger to generate significant gains in same-store sales, a key metric for supermarkets. Kroger's same-store sales growth had lagged expectations before, beating analyst estimates in the second quarter by increasing 2.2%. Chances of a meaningful resurgence in same-store sales growth are slim, given management's inability to effectively articulate a sound strategy to revive its core business and our belief that superior retailers like Walmart will continue to realize outsized share gains, Mandeville wrote. Kroger, however, says it has gained share in many of its major markets. It has a huge share of the greater Cincinnati grocery market at 48.1%, according to chain store guide figures from this spring. A Kroger spokeswoman said, "We are pleased with the improvement of trends in our supermarket business in the second quarter. Guided by our customer obsession, Kroger delivered our best identical sales without fuel results since the launch of our transformation plan in 2017. Kroger is laser-focused on executing against our 2019 plans, realizing our vision of serving America through food inspiration and uplift." Mandeville was among several analysts who criticized the timing of Kroger's decision last month to drop its long-term operating profit goal of increasing earnings before interest and taxes, or EBIT, by $400 million in 3 years to $3.5 billion in 2020. Most analysts, including Mandeville, said earlier this year Kroger couldn't reach that level. But he criticized its decision to drop the goal without providing any detail on expected operating profit growth during the conference call on September 12th, when McMullen announced the elimination of that goal. McMullen said Kroger would offer more details at its November 4th Investor Day, We're hard-pressed to think of what management can say at its investor day to excite us, Badneville wrote. Now, in addition to that gloomy article regarding Kroger's future, is this one regarding Amazon and their plans to open a new chain of grocery stores around the country. Online retail giant Amazon.com Incorporated is planning to add several retail grocery stores to its fastest-growing roster of physical locations, stepping up competition with Kroger and other supermarket operators. Amazon plans to open dozens of stores across the country, starting with Los Angeles, Chicago, and Philadelphia. That's according to a Wall Street Journal article. Amazon has already signed more than a dozen leases in Los Angeles for stores, the Journal reported, citing unnamed sources. Many of the stores are in suburban locations. These stores would operate separately from Amazon-owned Whole Food Market, according to the report. They wouldn't compete with Whole Foods, which focuses on organic items. The new Amazon stores will likely feature plenty of prepared foods in addition to typical grocery items. When asked for comment, a company spokeswoman told me Amazon doesn't comment on rumors or speculation. These stores will likely be much smaller than a typical Kroger store. One of the Los Angeles locations is expected to be about 35,000 square feet, the Journal reported. The New York stores will likely range from 20 to 40,000 square feet. A typical Kroger store covers about 75,000 square feet, with marketplace stores off in the 125,000 square foot range. Kroger is the nation's largest operator of traditional supermarkets. It's been facing heightened competition in the last few years from Amazon's growing entry into the grocery business, as well as Walmart's aggressive price-cutting moves this year. News first broke in March of Amazon's plans to launch a new store brand. That sent Kroger's stock spiraling downward, although analyst Chris Mandeville of Jefferies said at the time the drop in Kroger's stock felt overdone. Amazon already has 16 Amazon Go convenience stores in Seattle, Chicago, San Francisco, and New York. Two more are planned to open soon. Those stores feature ready-to-eat food items and groceries. Customers don't go through a checkout line, but pay electronically. Amazon also acquired Whole Foods, which has about 450 stores in the United States, in August of 2017. Kroger operates 2,800 stores in 35 states. It's made numerous moves to combat Amazon and others, including investing billions of dollars in e-commerce and home delivery initiatives, such as its Ocado automated warehouse and distribution centers, and its Rush Fast delivery service. Kroger also announced hundreds of layoffs of middle managers last week to cut cost. Kroger recently dropped its long-term operating profit goal of increasing profits by $400 million over 3 years to $3.5 billion by 2020. The topic of that announcement was panned by some analysts. Now, Kroger's stock is down 9% this year, but Kroger posted 2.2% same-store sales growth last quarter, beating analyst estimates in that key metric. On the arts front is this article at age 100. Children's Theater of Cincinnati is tracking upward like a toddler. Children's Theater of Cincinnati is celebrating 100 years of staging live drama for youngsters and the young at heart, and in just the last few years, it's been growing on pace with a child's imagination. According to the theater's research, it all started in 1919 when Helen Schuster Barton coined the name Children's Theater of Cincinnati and started directing productions for young audiences. Till about 6 months ago, we didn't realize we were in our 100th year, said Kim Kern, the theater's managing director and CEO. We were pleasantly surprised and honored. When she coined the name 100 years ago, Schuster Barton was a Junior League of Cincinnati member. She assembled other members as actors of the theater works, and they called themselves the Junior League Players. This collaboration continued until 1947, when the Children's Theater of Cincinnati, the TCT, launched as an independent, nonprofit organization. Now, until 1993, the theater's staff consisted of volunteers. In that year, it took on its first paid staffers, Susie Luiso as executive director and Jack Luiso as artistic director. The couple would stay with the theater for almost 20 years, and they got a lot of credit for turning it into one of the region's leading arts institutions. We've proven ourselves to be the oldest professional theater for young audiences in the nation, period, Kern said. She called the theater's impact on this region extraordinary. Our reach as an arts organization is second only to the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra in terms of downtown audience, Kern said. The theater's educational component is significant. If you add the shows at the Taft School for audiences only, the audience number more than doubles, and the school gets a special deal on tickets. It costs us $25 per student to put on a show, and the school district pays $8 per student, and some qualify for schools get deeper discounts, said Roderick Justice, the theater's producing artistic director. The theater's operating budget is split about 50-50, between ticket revenue and other earned income on one side of the ledger, gifts and grants on the other. The educational component goes well beyond work presented at the Taft Theater. TCT on Tours productions, which include original works that differ from those produced at the Taft, are seen by as many as 60,000 students from hundreds of schools in the region, Kern said. In addition to TCT, 2 years ago took over the Jumpstart Theater Program and provides schools with the resources to start theater programs themselves. Justice said nine area middle schools are participating, including schools in Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky, and Claremont County. The Theater TCT Academy, launched in 2012, offers classes for ages 2 through 18, a summer camp for kids 6 to 14. TCT Academy at 4015 Redback Road in Hyde Park. Information about scholarship classes and summer camps can be found at the Children's Theater, that's one word, thechildrenstheater.com. We knew a demand for this existed, but we didn't realize how it would take off, Kern said. Annual participation at the summer camp and academy classes has grown from 55 in the first year of operation to between 12 and 1,500 today. Finally today, this story on a name I'm sure many in our audience will recognize. Rob Braun takes a job at Greater Cincinnati Bank. Longtime WKRC-TV Channel 12 news anchor Rob Braun has changed jobs and career paths, taking a role at a Greater Cincinnati Community Bank. Braun, who spent 35 years at Channel 12 before leaving in June, has taken a job as spokesman for Erlanger-based Heritage Bank. The people at Heritage, where he banks, came to him within a few days of his departure from Channel 12. It made me proud that they approached me and talked to me about my integrity and trustworthiness, Brown said. I would have taken the job if I didn't totally believe in the bank, their philosophy and how they treat people. I started in the business as talent for commercials. I'm tickled. It made sense to end where I started. Brown's role involves doing commercials on TV and radio. He also sits in on marketing planning meetings and offers ideas. He even recorded the bank's on-hold message recently. I've never done that before, he laughed, said. Brown switched his family's bank accounts and those of his personal businesses from a large regional bank to Heritage several years ago. The banking business has changed, and it's less customer-focused, Brown said. Heritage took an interest in me and its small business. That connection also helped him decide to take the job as spokesman. It's easy to sell something you believe in, he said. The fit was nice and comfortable. Heritage chairman Chris Cadell said Brown fits well with Heritage philosophy. Like Heritage Bank, Rob cares about what unites our region, as well as the qualities unique to each community and neighborhood. Cadell said in a news release, he's a longtime customer. Rob can speak firsthand about our commitment to building prosperity wherever we operate and in providing customers with the same caliber of counsel and personal attention we offer families and friends. Heritage is the largest bank based in Northern Kentucky and is Greater Cincinnati's 10th biggest bank with $788 million in local deposits. Heritage has 19 banking offices, including one in Montgomery. I have a grand opening next week. It opened its first Ohio branch last year in Mason. Cadell's father, Arnold, started Heritage in 1990. All my life I've been an entrepreneur, Brown said. My father, well-known TV personality Bob Brown, got fired from the TV business when he was in his 50s. I did it out of fear to have something to fall back on. He later started Academy Rentals, a company that rented tents, booths, tables, and chairs for outdoor events. It expanded to an indoor convention setup. He sold the outdoor business. In January, he's selling the convention business, known as Academy Expo, to the same buyer of the outdoor business. He started a company in 1990 called Phoenix ENG that builds trucks with equipment for live TV transmissions, along with other specialized equipment. He owned that through 2018. Well, that brings to a close this week's program with listening to the Greater Cincinnati Business Report here on Radio Reading Services of Greater Cincinnati, a division of the Cincinnati Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired. I'm Stephen J. Lowenstein. Thanks for listening. And join me next week at this very same time for another fun and exciting fact-filled edition of the Greater Cincinnati Business Report.